cry together, the great community amongst the great community God established. At that time, God was absorbed in the creation of the heavens of the moment of the profound deception. Also, at that time, the first seven months of our Echo-Ishtar looked upon the very practice of profound faith and wisdom, and he held this primary resource as a human heritage nature. Then, for the power of the women, the men of Shari Christians said this for the first seven months of our Echo-Ishtar. After this, the son of the Jewish train, who is practiced their ability and profound faith and wisdom. He said that the body of the Sahara of Inshara said this to them, Shari Kutra. Shari Kutra is a son of the Jewish of the world of the Jewish, which is practiced in the profound faith and wisdom. Should we look at it like this, for a great thing appears to be holding in this far area is also a sentiment of the nation. All the empty entrance is thought, and empty still another form, forms also another nexus. Same way, the creation of this respect is not just a scripture. Shabrutra likewise will not bring in the desired characteristics. How reduced I say to them, it's not without saying, not efficient, not fulfilled. Shabrutra therefore identifies his own form, the feeling, the discrimination, the opposition, practice, no consciousness. Now I know you, the nerves, the tongue, the body, the mind, that is all the sound, the way, the taste, the body, the touch, and the arm. Is no element, and so I think that you know my element, no mental consciousness element. With no increase in my seeing, increase in so on, not including no aging and death, and no speaking of aging and death. Since really there is no suffering, origination, cessation of harm, which knows no cause, no general cause, no harm thing. Shall I appreciate therefore because it is no attempt, but just up to the line of God and perfection of wisdom, and I am without cessation without fear. Having completely fasted in error, there is any worth of harm. All glories of God in the three times also manifest in completely awakened to unsurpassable perfect complete enlightenment in all lines of affection and wisdom. Therefore, the mountain of affection and wisdom, the mountain of great knowledge, the mountain of pleasure, the mountain of equal and equal, the mountain of every unsurpassable suffering should be known as true, since it is not false. The mountain of affection and wisdom is there, and it is our own gully, 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 Shabrutra devoted sacrifice, suffering, shame, and profound affection of wisdom like that. And the Bhagavan rose to the concentration, made the devoted sacrifice of Arahant, which Shara saying, well said, well said, son of the leaders, like that. If I had one should practice without affection of wisdom, just you indicated, even the sacrifice was worthless. Bhagavan rose to the concentration, the venerable Shabrutra, devoted sacrifice of Arahant, which Shara, and those surrounding the tribe, all the world of God, students, students, and others,
Jodong do jodong la, jodong do jodong la, jodong do jodong la, 大约就是一边做农业，做了本就是当业主把小三业就当做月结了。将就把多大年就做钱，大约就是一边做农业，做了本就是当业主把人。俺们越多年越多年，到我们这帮别去了的，没去那天在把过年的拉下子，从年年就从那这边拉，这些这些感谢的人，全都是你们做农，做完的东西都能做。
你不读书，过去是吧？但你当你不读书的了，俺家里那么大经济多，俺那孙子也多，俺那年把老米都不多，人也不多，是读书的些。那这样，家里那么大，我就在你们身边，他们家在东华的查过，身边他们就上有个包托过路，身边他们就给你上有个包托包学，身边将就身边过年了，过年将就身边去。
Good evening, everyone. So last week we started to look at this the practice of the four opponents' powers. So the reason we looked at them is within our specific context, where we, having generated the mind of enlightenment, this wish to free all sentient beings from suffering completely and lead them to the state of Buddhahood, having generated such a mind to become a Buddha for the sake of others, in order to fulfill this aspiration, one has to abandon and purify all previously accumulated non-virtues. And to do this, to be able to purify effectively, one needs to rely on the four opponent powers. So that's what we looked at last week, and the four opponent powers are, just to repeat them, the power of the base, the power of regret, the power of restraint, and the power of the antidote. And just to check, can you hear me okay with a different microphone? Okay, good.
啊，其实，徐班那些两组的，他定义读不写的，当然就俺组的那定义读的嘛，当然，其实都，当然宁波的嘛，徐差的，他的嘛老钱，嘛，就是嘛老些些，是吧？他读不写那的，定义读不写的，可是定义读瞬间不读，读没读，宁波工作就不读，但是读不写的些，是吧？对，那不是难嘛。
So we already looked at the four opponent powers last week, but we'll look at them again now briefly. So we at the top of page 265, where it mentions them, the power of support, or the power of the basis, the power of regretting having done wrong, thirdly, the power of resolution or restraint, and fourthly, the power of action as an antidote, or the power of the antidote.
I think you took said here.
So the power of the support or base, and I'll read the first line here, and so I'll just change a couple of the words to what we usually use. In the context, the support is provided by taking refuge in Vajrasattva and cultivating the aspiring and engaging minds of Bodhicitta. So in the context that we are looking at in this chapter, we're looking primarily at the application of the four opponent powers through the practice of Vajrasattva. So the power, the basis here, is the Vajrasattva, together with the two types of bodhicitta, the aspiring and engaging minds of bodhicitta. Then the text goes on to mention other practices or other ways that one can engage in a purification practice. So our text is primarily looking at the Vajrasattva practice, but there are other practices or other ways that one can engage in purification. So other illustrations of the opponent power, the base or support, would be, for example, if one is doing the practice of the 35 Buddhas, then one would have, would generate a visualization of the 35 Buddhas, and this would be one's basis to which one confesses, one or the support to whom one confesses. Alternatively, one can visualize one's root teacher. And then with a mind of trust and conviction in one's teacher, one then would confess to one's teacher. Alternatively, one can visualize the representations of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. And with a mind of great faith, then one can make confession to such representations. So, for example, one could visualize the Buddha's form, or either Buddha Shakyamuni or Buddha Manjushri, etc., whichever Buddha, and with a mind of faith, confess to do your one's confession practice to that form, or to the speech of the Buddha, One then generates great faith in the teachings of the Buddha. And then with this mind of great faith in the teachings of the Buddha, that would be the opponent power, the basis, to whom one will confess. Or to the mind of the Buddha, so here one generates great faith in the qualities, the mental qualities that Buddhas have generated, such as the mind of omniscience. And that then would be the opponent power of the basis to which one confesses.
We've
now looked at a variety of bases to which one can use as a support for one's confession practice. But amongst these, that to have the mind of bodhicitta present is absolutely crucial. If the mind of bodhicitta is absent, and if one is rather has as a basis a motivating mind such as wanting to be free from all our problems or wanting just to have a next life that's better than this one or a good rebirth, with such a motivating basis, even if the opponent powers, all four of them, are complete, one will not be able to eliminate one's non-virtues completely. One will be able to reduce them in strength, but one will not have nearly as powerful an impact. In particular, one will not be able to eliminate them if the mind of bodhicitta is absent. So when you talk about the different types of support, then the mind of bodhicitta, it's crucial that that is present, or that is included.
So
here we really need to emphasize the importance of having the motivating mind of bodhicitta. So engaging in this the practice of purification of past accumulated negativities, motivated by the wish to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. If that mind is absent, then one will be unable to purify completely previously accumulated negativities. But if the mind of uncontrived bodhicitta has arisen, then one is able to completely purify previously accumulated negativities. Whereas our text has a slightly different translation, calling it sincere bodhicitta. But if the bodhicitta is uncontrived, it has arisen spontaneously without needing to be consciously generated, then when the bodhicitta is that powerful, it will be able to completely purify previously accumulated negativities.
Can you do that something, Pimpe?
the chasang, the lungde tama. Okay. Then there's a quotation here from Shantideva's Bodhisattva's Way of Life. As though they pass through perils guarded by a hero, even those weighed down with dreadful wickedness will instantly be freed through having bodhicitta. Who then would not place his trust in it? Just as by the fires at the end of time, great sins are utterly consumed by bodhicitta. In life, if we are in a dire situation and we're struggling to look after ourselves, we're struggling to metaphorically keep our head above the water, then we often turn to someone for support, for help, for assistance. So perhaps if someone is in a legal predicament, then if one can employ a very knowledgeable and skilled lawyer, then one can be that they can help protect one from the potential suffering of being sent to prison. So here, we carry the burden of having accumulated powerful negativities, or as the text says, we weigh down by dreadful wickedness. So we have these powerful negative acts that we have performed either in this or in previous lives, and these present a grave danger to us in that when they ripen, they will only ripen in a suffering result. So here we too need to rely on someone or something with great power, great influence, great ability, and that something is a mind, and the mind of bodhicitta, and that mind is something that we can generate within ourselves. It's not something external to ourselves, but it's something that we can and therefore should generate within ourselves, because through generating this very mind within us, it has the power to purify these previously accumulated negativities. The rest of the verse then is similar to the explanation just given. So the analogy that's presented here is the fire at the end of this eon. So this is a traditional way that says that is presented, that the world system comes to an end. But the analogy here is that would be the strongest of all fires. And so bodhicitta then is likened to this in that it's the most powerful of antidotes. In particular, whatever negativities we have accumulated, through generating this mind within ourselves, This mind serves as an antidote to purify these previously accumulated negativities, and moreover, does so almost instantaneously. It will purify it in an instant. There we go. We purify our previously accumulated negativities in an instant. So therefore, we once again are encouraged to generate this mind within ourselves. So that's the first of the four opponent powers, the power of the support or the base. So this is the support or the base to which we engage in our purification practice. Now we'll look at the second, that of the power of regret. So as it says here in the first line, the power of regretting having done wrong comes from the feeling of remorse for all the negative actions you have done in the past. So here one consciously generates recollection of the misdeeds or the negative acts that we have that we recall engaging in this life. And in addition to that, even acts that we don't recall ever having done, we know that at some point in previous lives we would have engaged in these. So therefore we generate regret for all our past misdeeds, whether we can actually recall performing them or not. And so this is this generation of regret for previously performed negative deeds is the second opponent power, that of regretting our past wrongdoings. And you said the meaning. So this is a particularly important antidote, because how can one confess to something that one doesn't regret? And if one can't confess to something that one doesn't regret, of course there can't be any purification. So this power, or this antidote or power of regret, is of particular importance.
Mm. 공부수비 되나 미차고 미비에도 렌지 지도마 길어서 세 직된 거래데 미시 차가 되는데 제 너 너샹이 백이메 차상야 유기진 직된 거라 어디진 가지 되는 게 시어 제어를 뒤마제바나 디바샤나 다투 말했어요.
With the in the context of the power support, one generates the real feeling as if the being that one is confessing to is present. So whether it is the Buddha, for example, or whether it's one's root teacher, such as His Holiness the Dalai Lama or Lama Zopa Rinpoche, one generates the actual the real feeling that their omniscient mind is aware of our the practice we are engaging in. And then when we've generated regret, we engage in confession as if they were here. So as if we were saying to them directly, this is what I have done, and doing so with sincerity. So at this moment then, we should not conceal anything, we should not keep anything hidden, as if we were confessing that to their physical person, but we only said what we were moderately ashamed about, but not what we were truly ashamed of. So here we must not conceal anything, but confess as if they were directly present, confessing everything. So this is important to bear in mind, in that if you are doing this practice on the basis of a text, then the text will refer to without concealing anything, and that is the meaning of not concealing.
Mibedo la de be ma sha so da be wa chon ku ma ku be ne cha la ng ku me sa chin din be ba ro chi sa ta ku she din ni cha la din ni ku she ni ku she no sha sa ji ma be ba che tuen che ya shu ku le se de chi sa chi na da tong wa she be tu chi na le di den go ne.
On the top of page 266 is a quotation from such a sutra of confession, the sutra of three heaps. I confess them all without hiding or holding back anything. So this is as just been explained. So to make a real world example, if one has just stealed something and maybe shoplifted something and put it under one's clothes, and then one is confronted, then the idea is that one shouldn't deny it and say, no, I haven't done anything, but rather one should honestly confess to what one has done and admit that this was a fault, a mistake, and not conceal or hide anything.
Naji Dibo Kondo Dusun Tar Mwasa Jita Gyoba Chimbo Sha Chizanyema Chebe Dibo 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 D
There's a further quotation from Kama Chakme. Confessing them without regret cannot purify them, for past misdeeds are like a poison within, so confess them with shame, trepidation, and great remorse. So one further analogy to that one can draw in here is that the strength of regret should be as if one mistakenly consumed poison. So if one had mistakenly consumed poison and then realizes what one has done, of course great regret will arise. One will wish that one had not done that because one doesn't want the result that follows. So with a similar mind of regret for what one has done, not wanting the result that follows, one should confess.
Adine dombe top siadre, Adine dombe topne, Rangi ngarchi be, Dibi le dini, tende, Danima chinchi, so mabo dilla papja, Teta be dipi, le migi, migido, nyabati insa. Adanda has also Nyaman, the diva chiba part, the heat, Henwa, ten, Kyobachin, but no to share that German and that's all in Jimmy, I said. Thompson said, Dile, German and so. The so mabo dilla papja sanga. Sen tipi jege dondal ya sol kiran tipa maje ba na kiran sugin labine diba chimi ha na sugin sen a shiye ge yine a tawa ge diba chimi es tena deni za diba se tawa ge chimi san be somno de da domsem se dire da dombe top se dire.
That was then the second of the four opponent powers, or the four antidotal powers. The third then, so there was regret, and now the third is resolution or restraint, or sometimes called the power of the promise. So this is, as it says here, the power of resolution means to remember the faults that you have committed and resolve to never committing them again from this very day on, even at the cost of your dear life. So the meaning here is quite clear. Through having generated powerful regret for what one has done, and fearing the ripening result, and or not wanting the ripening result, then one commits to never again engaging in such an activity. And the power of this resolve is such that one commits to, under no circumstances, will one engage in these negativities again. One commits completely to turning away from such negativities. So this is the mind of restraint, and the mind of restraint is the third opponent power, that of resolution or the promise or restraint.
Gave Sawa Chanchu long of us. Never but a jubilee Chanchu to same Javas. And Nilu some tribune or working was so easy. That's another halos and then you bought the carol of Nadeji, Tangan Jugi, Chikin, Tin Chilia, and Pentema Shaker to be Chaker to Balia, and Paso at Tapche, and then Kusun Tuki, Sanitema Sanitary Kusun Yundi, Chenji Bukone, Telaso at Tapji, and then Tin, Tin you took the Temba Shaker to Good Charua. Then you give that, Chesna Denigi Samutna, Disum Samutan Sane, that deeper thing is shaggy, some jay, Disney to be shaggy, some jingle to Gawakar Dubene. And Dina de Gawa to be a Delayan, Chaparas, the Chanjusimba, Sanjay, the Chanjusimba, the Deva Chatawa, Deva Sanjay, the Chanjusimba, the Deva Chatawa, and Dian, and Dinigi Chatsavi, Chatsavi, the Gawasago, and Gawa the Nimbit, Nimbit of Chagore. And then Dinashi, the Susuki is Gawa, Sasha Biggie, a Michandagi, that been a Gawasakan, Gawa to come Mongo Shuwa, Jesuipi must say Yabure, some Jesuina Jibi, Jesuina Dian.
So to recap, we started by looking at the first opponent power, that of the basis or the support. So let's say one is using as a basis a visualization of the Buddha. So one generates a visualization, having a feeling that the Buddha is present, and recalls the qualities of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind. And thereafter, one recalls negativities that one has done in this life, as well as those that one would have maybe hasn't done in this life, but has done in previous lives. And thinking about the ripening results of these generates powerful regret for what one has performed. But thirdly, one makes a commitment, seeing the faults of this harmful action, one commits to never, ever doing this again. So those are the first three opponent powers that we've already looked at. So now one has confessed and made the commitment to not engage in this action again. So now one engages in the fourth opponent power, that of the antidote. And this is where we, and this is done through engaging in any kind of virtuous action. So any kind of virtuous action can serve as the antidote. So the text here in the first paragraph of this section on page 266 mentions, I think, five. So the first then is that it can be one can engage in virtuous actions such as making prostrations to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and this then can serve as the antidote to previously accumulated negativities or the negativities that we have confessed. Second illustration would be rejoicing in the virtue that that others have accumulated. So recalling to mind the virtues that others have engaged in, and sincerely rejoicing in this. This too, as it's a virtuous act, can serve as an opponent power. And likewise, dedicating the roots of virtue that one has accumulated to enlightenment for the sake of others.
That's so sugar kishu to check here Zawa and the chip and deep Kevazawa dear Simjin Tamji Dundala Sanjuko want to work your shore. Simjin Tamjin, Digiyon, Yuchawa shores, the Nigging Moa, the Molam Javaina, the Nigging Moa, Sosugo, the Molam D, Nick Nibu to check it. And the Nea, member that Jubit and Shoe Simjin, that I want to get that the Nedi and Ya Jap Sum dear, Dingy Top and it. Some dangers, and there are a tiny,
and the text gives further illustrations. So we read as far as the dedicating of all the roots of virtue that one has accumulated so that with the aspiration that it ripens for the welfare of others, so that the virtue we've accumulated, we dedicate that the virtue that we've accumulated ripens in a way that others attain enlightenment, others become freed from suffering. And then a fourth illustration, or a fourth a virtuous activity that one can engage in as an antidotal power, is to meditate on either mind or bodhicitta, the aspiring or engaging mind. So generating the mind, going through all the steps that we've covered previously, coming to the point where one commits to attaining enlightenment for the sake of others, then here one is meditating on bodhicitta. And this meditation on bodhicitta is of course virtuous, and being a virtuous mind, it is serves as an antidote to the negativities that we have confessed. And then fifthly would be having confessed the negative activities we've engaged in, then to meditate on emptiness. And even though we haven't realized emptiness yet, to whatever extent we have understood emptiness and we've gained familiarity with that, generating this mind understanding emptiness, it's a virtuous mind, and therefore serves to purify the negativities we have confessed.
The
text then gives an account of when a meditator approached his teacher, Dakwa Rinpoche, and said to him that he's feeling great regret that in the past he used to sell a Dharma text in order to make a profit and to live off this money. And rather than print Dharma text with the motivation to be of benefit to others, or the text to bring benefit to others. So here then Dakpo Rinpoche replied to him, and to purify this, then print further texts, but with a proper motivation. In our modern age, we were given advice like this to publish some texts. Well, it would be good to do, but it wouldn't be particularly difficult. Probably if you need to send a few emails, and if you have some money saved, then you can pay to have some texts published. It's not a huge amount of work for a sponsor to arrange these days. This wasn't the case in ancient Tibet. There, of course, it meant either handwriting texts, that's a lot of work, or it meant carving out wood blocks so that one can print, that's a lot of work, or if the wood blocks were bought, then the actual printing page by page by hand, that's a lot of work. So really it was quite a task that this meditator was given by his teacher, but he engaged it, but he found it particularly distracting for his mind, and this led to him being disillusioned. So he returned to his teacher and explained this, and also said to his teacher, but as far as I understand, isn't meditating on emptiness the very best way to purify? And to that, Dakpa Rinpoche showed great delight and confirmed that, yes, meditating on emptiness is the best way to purify. So now we're at the top of page 267. There is indeed no deeper way to cleanse oneself of past misdeeds than to meditate on bodhicitta and to maintain the flow of the unaltered natural state. Keep these two things in mind as you go through the details of the meditation on Vajrasattva, purification by the stream of nectar, recitation of the 100-syllable mantra, and so on. We've heard several times tonight then that how crucial it is to generate the mind of bodhicitta in order to be able to purify extensively. Now we've also heard that in addition to this, one needs to meditate on emptiness. So these are the two crucial minds for our purification practice to be of extensive power. Now, the text here is presenting the four opponent powers in the context of Vajrasattva. So if one then is engaging in the practice as is to be presented, that of the purification practice of Vajrasattva, it should be conjoined. The practice of Vajrasattva, the meditation, the visualization, the mantra recitation, etc. So that practice of Vajrasattva should be conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta and the wisdom understanding emptiness.
And
So our text is now about to start with a presentation on the practice of Vajrasattva. But let's first just do a quick recap of these four opponent powers in the context of Buddha Shakyamuni. So one generating, first generating a visualization of Buddha Shakyamuni and the feel of his presence, and then doing and then furthering this mind by generating great faith in the qualities of the Buddha, thinking of how much tremendous effort the Buddha put in lives preceding his attainment of enlightenment in order to become a Buddha. And the reason for him wanting to become a Buddha was for the sake of all sentient beings, including, of course, ourselves. So the Buddha put in all this effort and hard work over an incredible expanse of time in order to become fully enlightened, in order to purify all faults from his continuum and accumulate all good qualities, for the sole motivation of becoming a Buddha so that he could help others achieve that same state themselves. And the Buddha then achieved enlightenment, taught the Dharma, and through teaching the Dharma helped so many beings in his life and for these 2,500 years subsequent to that. So in this way, the Buddha has been so incredibly kind to us. So here, generating great faith and devotion in the Buddha and in the qualities of the Buddha, and having a real feeling of the presence of the Buddha, then one has generated the first opponent power, that of the basis. Then one recalls to mind the vast array of negativities that we have all accumulated in this life and in our previous lives, but doing so not just on a mere superficial level, but in a way that moves the mind, in a way that where we sincerely feel regret for having engaged in these actions which only lead to suffering. And then we make the commitment that we will not engage in these activities ever again. And we do this combined with making a confession to the Buddha that we feel is present. So it's as if the Buddha were before us and we were engaging in conversation with the Buddha, and we're confessing our past misdeeds and we're committing to not doing so again. So it's the important aspect here is that this is done with sincerity, as if one was having a face-to-face conversation. Then, so that now one has gone through three of the four opponent powers, and now one goes to the fourth. So let's say it can be any virtuous action, but what fits here maybe would be the recitation of the Buddha's mantra or Muni Muni Mahamunaya Soha. Here one then decides to recite some mala's worth of this mantra, knowing that through applying this antidotal power of the opponent power of the antidote, that this is the method, combined with the other three opponent powers, that one can purify our previously accumulated negativities. And this is essential because we have the wish to become a Buddha ourselves for the sake of others. We've generated this mind and body chitta within us. We want to be of lasting benefits to others to lead them to a state of free from suffering. And to be able to do that, we have to purify the all negativities on our continuum. And with this in mind, one then starts to recite the Om Mani Muni Munaya Soha mantra. And so this is now being, as one is reciting through one's voice, one is accumulating virtues, a virtuous activity. One's mind then stays present or conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta, aware that one is confessing what one has generated regret over, doing so with the mind of restraint, and doing so in order to be of greatest benefit to others. So in this way, we accumulate virtue whilst conjoined with the mind of bodhicitta, and all four opponent powers have been generated. So this process that we've just explained with Vajrasattva, with Shakyamuni Buddha, would be the same with any basis. So if one feels a strong connection with Chenrezig and then visualizes Chenrezig feeling his presence, then that would be the... And then thinking of the qualities of Chenrezig, then one has generated the power of the basis. Then one recalls past misdeeds from this life as well as those when those would have been performed in previous lives, and generates strong regret, sincere regret for those, and confesses them as if one was doing so face to face to Chenrezig, and confesses them and commits to never doing them again under any circumstances. So those are the first three opponent powers. And then one engages in the recitation of Chenrezig's mantra, so Om Mani Padme Hum. And engaging in this, one is engaging, reciting this mantra is the opponent power of the antidote. And what's crucial here is, whilst reciting the mantra, is to have the mind engaged in the purpose of this practice. So mind such as bodhicitta present, and regret, and restraint, etc. And in this way, one would be engaged in purifying through relying on the four opponent powers, or utilizing the four opponent powers. And in this instance, the basis would be Chenrezig, but it could be any other deity too.
And the reason we come to core is that in my
So we'll start now looking at the Vajrasattva practice, but there's not a huge amount of time left tonight, so we're just going to look at it very briefly tonight. You start the practice with visualizing oneself in one's ordinary form, not as a deity, but just as an ordinary form. And then above the crown of one's head, visualizes a brilliant, radiant white lotus. And on this white lotus is a white moon disc, which is large and round and also brilliantly white. And in the middle of the white moon disc is a radiant letter, white radiant letter, or a radiant white letter, Hung. So in our ordinary form, above our crown of our head is the white lotus, and on that is the white moon disc, on top of that is the radiant white letter Hung. That letter Hung then transforms into Vajrasattva. So Vajrasattva is in the nature of one's root teacher, but in aspect of Vajrasattva, or the visual form is that of Vajrasattva, but in nature is indistinguishable from one's root teacher.
And so the
Hung transforms into Vajrasattva, who is in union with its consort Vajradhopa. So we're now at the top of page 268. So with this visualization, it's important that one doesn't see the visualization as something material or inanimate or inert, but rather is light. It's clear and radiant from light. And then this would lead one to think about emptiness, that this visualization is not truly existent. So this visualization, and that now we've done there would be a reflection on emptiness. This is the power of the basis. So it would be like looking in a mirror, the clarity of this visualization.
That didn't get in it of some dance, that he got relevant, DJ Langan Jogi, that
순진 다디링이
After the power of the basis, then we go to the power of regret. So this then is the same as we heard before. Here one generates, first recalls the previously done misdeeds that we may have done physically, we've done verbally, or our train of thought, or our mental misdeeds. And one generates sincere regret for these misdeeds that we have performed in the past, whether this life or previous lives. And here then one confesses them to the Vajrasattva, who one has visualized, and visualized as if they were really present. So there's a feeling for them here. And here one is confessing because we are engaging in this practice, we are doing so as Buddhists, and therefore we are engaging in this practice as people who believe in or accept the truth of the Buddha's teachings. And the Buddha's teachings in a very brief form would be not to harm others. And what we're confessing here will have brought harm to ourselves or to others. So we have thereby, when we have engaged in these negative actions, these actions have led to harm, either directly to others or through a potential ripening result to harm to ourselves. So we have gone against the teachings of the Buddha. We have gone against the very teachings that we have accepted in, that we have accepted. So with such an understanding, one sincerely confesses and apologizes for these past misdeeds. And then we'll come to the power of resolve or restraint. Here then commit and we promise to never engaging in, under any circumstances, in these same negative reasons again. Before we would have done so under the influence of perhaps the ignorance of confusion, but now we see that these negativities lead only to unwanted results, and not wanting these results, we commit to not accumulating further causes like this ever again. So here we've confessed and we commit to not engaging in these negativities ever again.
Dinade 미시 덴비게 나다 디네 덴비급의 덴기다 덴비급랑 안쪽에 자주심 유군이 자주심다 동유도베 셰 동유도베 셰라 삼다지 덴바 인자 디급이 자주심다 동유도베 셰라다 이게 삼다야다 나는 나한테 덴기 식티게 찾아 님비도 체고래 님비도
Then we, of course, come to the fourth opponent power, that of the antidote. So having confessed now, one engages in the recitation of the Vajrasattva 100-syllable mantra. When engaging in the recitation of the 100-syllable mantra, then one is engaging in this virtuous activity with one's speech, so one is reciting the mantra. But merely that is insufficient. One must be mentally engaged as well. How should one be mentally engaged? One should generate the two minds of bodhicitta and the wisdom, understanding, emptiness. Then these three together, the verbal recitation of the mantra, as well as the mind of bodhicitta and the mind, understanding, emptiness. These three together serve as the opponent power of the antidote. And whilst we're reciting the 100-syllable mantra with the minds of bodhicitta and emptiness, the mind understanding emptiness present, then we engage in further visualization. So we're sitting here in our ordinary form. Above the crown of our head is the visualization of Vajrasattva and consort in union. Then flowing down from them is a nectar flowing down into the crown of our head like water, washing through our body. So this nectar flowing down is the represents the qualities of the body, speech and mind of all the Buddhas in the aspect of Vajrasattva. So their qualities are represented through this nectar flowing down into us. And then all these negativities that we have confessed and we've committed to not forming again, then we imagine them flowing from our body, and so they could take a form of something negative, such as black smoke or black liquid, something like that, flowing out of our body. And as the nectar flows down, then that leads to the negativities flowing out of our body, and we imagine becoming purified of all these negativities that we have committed in the past, and we have confessed with sincerity and also genuinely committed to not committing again. And so now these are, we've been purified of these, and as we become purified from them, our body then starts to become pure, and our body starts to become as if it's of light and clear, as if it's clear as if it were crystal. So this, and then we generate this conviction that we have purified our mind of these previously performed negative deeds.
So
we've looked very, very briefly at this this practice of purifying through the four opponent powers using Vajrasattva, the Buddha Vajrasattva, as the basis. So this is something that is important for everyone to do. We've heard that if in order to spiritually develop, one needs to purify one's previously accumulated negativities. And in particular, many of you here will have received initiations or empowerments in the past. And when one receives empowerments, one takes on, one accepts certain pledges or samayas. And so those would have been, those would have degenerated or been broken. So therefore, not to allow that negativity to grow, it's imperative that one engages in this practice every day with at least a recitation of 21, of the 100 syllable mantra 21 times. If one can do more so, of course, that's better. But it's said that if one does this practice genuinely and recites the mantra 21 times, then those negativities will at least not grow in strength. And it's also said, though, if one accumulates 100,000 recitations, then one can completely purify oneself of negativities. So the text will represent that through 21 recitations of this mantra, then the result of the previous negativities will not grow in strength. This is presented in a text. Likewise, if one recites 100,000 of these mantras, then one's negativities will be completely purified. But Whether that actually happens depends entirely on the quality of one's own mind. In other words, it depends entirely on how one does this praxis, bearing in mind that the quality of the praxis depends on one's mental engagement. Then that is what determines how effective our purification praxis is or is not. For example, if one's visualization is not very if one doesn't feel very convinced by the presence of the Buddha Vajrasattva, then one's confession is going to be not as powerful. Likewise, if one's mind of regret is certainly if it's absent or if it's weak, then the purification is going to be very weak. And if these four opponent powers are absent or if they are only weak in application, then correspondingly the purification too will be weak. Now if one just recites the mantra with a little bit of intent, then maybe one will reduce one's negativities a bit, but nothing spectacular. None of the results that one may hope for. So once again, how successful the practice is depends on the quality of the mind that one applies to this practice. Then furthermore, in terms of the frequency that one should engage in this, if we think of a pot that may be catching water dripping out of a leaking pipe. So we may dry off that pot, but water is going to continue to drip into that pot, and it in no time again will be wet. So this is the same with our mind. We will generate regret, and we'll make a commitment not to perform these negativities again. And even doing this with genuine sincerity, doing so from the depths of one's heart, being ordinary beings, we will once again very quickly accumulate further negativities. Therefore, it's imperative that this practice is done repeatedly, and in this way we'll slowly weaken our previously accumulated negativities and limit the accumulation of further. So you may think, well, what's the point of doing this then? Because I confess, I promise, and then I'll do it again. So it seems like it's a bit pointless. Just in the same way we clean our house, we clean our clothes, we clean our bodies, but they will get dirty again. But we know we need to do this, and we need to do it regularly, otherwise the dirt will and the filth will just pile up, and soon it will, our homes will become unlivable, our clothing will become unwearable, and no one will really want to be near our bodies if they remain unwashed. And it's the same, so therefore we still keep cleaning them despite that they become dirty again. And it's similar with our mind. So although we will engage in further negativities, we need to reduce the quantity and strength of this vast array of negativities that we have already performed. And by doing so, not only do we weaken those, but we start to accumulate less new negativities. And therefore, we are making rapid progress.
Then that in Rob Dorduce, what I in jail just now, Lelichima, Chikilichi, Shuchuwa, this cavern. Don't that the Chiba, the first cavern.
The Nicotishan at Rigidu?
Daniel.
This one.
This is.
So then we've looked briefly at this practice of the four opponent powers tonight, and just to repeat that these can be applied to a basis of Vajrasattva or Buddha Shakyamuni, one's root teacher, whatever one feels most connected to. So that's entirely up to oneself. So we're going to finish there for tonight. Next week we will look at the Vajrasattva practice in more detail than we were able to tonight, although the meaning is pretty much the same. So if you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. If because it's 8:30, if you need to go, you don't need to wait, feel free to go. Yes?
I was wondering so remorse I would feel would be wishing that the negative action that generated the negative karma didn't occur in the first place. But to wish that is getting nowhere. And it's wanting something impossible, which was written into our lives from the fall by the Creator, so that we may learn from it. So shouldn't we approach it not with strong remorse, which would generate further feelings of negativity, approach it with happiness?
Okay. So, if I understand correctly, correct me if I get it wrong, yeah? So, if we generate regret for previously performed negative deeds, this is mistaken because we're just generating an unhappy mind, whereas these things have been given to us by the Creator, so as we can learn from them. Is it like that? And therefore should be approached rather with a happy mind.
For the chance to overcome them.
For the chance to overcome them. Okay, understand. Thank you. Then Gyopa Kikola Kartishimso. Then he not so Gyopa Kena, 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 Natal de Tresum, the Kalyiming Yamasum, in the Peltage, you can go up for Dick by Day Natal Gula Shaksum, Peltage. Then he Natal and in the Kalyatin, you can go up for the Jessum, Natal Dine Sapa Chick Jang Togeres, Penamasum, yeah, Sapa Chick Jang Togeres, also Yagiro Togeres. Then he Nesamna.
Yaga Changro Changro Dunje Energy Notre Mongoose Share Subol and Nazayata and Yaga Mati Vacha Dine the Changro Dunje Rasin Yoga Penang of the Cassandra Chenso or Chitoche and Chichi Chang Susan Namjun Yahu Yahu in there Namjun and the Shiga Yahu Yava Energy Dine Yoga Mi Yahu Shubine and the Rogonium the Chenso Toga Chenso Pachi. And the robot in the Chang Dong, then a Chang Bai rise in the Chang Dong, then a Chang Dong, meaning the Chubu Jap, Yora Jun, then Yora Chubena, and the Sangi the Sule, the Chang Pa, Sang Yerua, Yedian, or the Minkasan Chick Chang Dong, Chalmud, Notu Shu Jesha, the Dreaminu, some chick, Delia Dreaminu, some big, give us a Dreaminu, some side there, what the Dreaminu, some banner, and Jesa, or that it in German and our Dumas. Denigi not to show to come out to this German room as a base on the ligure. Jesan, Kazan, the dream in Massamba, the Tisha, Pet you, Jasamba, Jamale, Delia Drodek, to have a Dovaki water. Jenan, Gana, the Mutin Edigurova. Jesan, I took it not to show the half worthy, but the dream in Sambaena, and the notary, Jamal, and notary, Denigi, the other Maji, Zemagi. Majeva. Chisna dini ki jemman di jigime sambay ni, an jemman ni chenso soga jaya changma tongwe ni, dini sosu zubu diya tang yung a da, sosu istenbe kibo yung a da, nyokra majuwa da, di diya di di yung kuruwa. Chisna di dhri mindu ma sambay na, oda ki udu sam ni jemma ya dhuwa, dini jemma ya changma tongwa, dini nyokra na, ni dhru kuruwa. Chisna gyumchen di re, ni nga zu, notri chige, oda shen liya mi, notri cheba na, notri chen dikwa nyokra juye, bema dhri mindu sambay ke, Jeba ini zaman nanti dijigime sampai ke sama leh itu dalam diruwa. Kita jeba ini, ni siang leh nyawa macam ni, susu leh nyawa jinga yang gua maruwa. Sebab angkut diruwa. Siang leh nyawa jinga susu kangal te, siang leh kangal te itu, ni siang susu leh nyawa mampu leh diligurwa. Madu susu siang leh nyawa macam jeba ini, benda siang leh cukup sih ada macam jeba cepat dom siapa ini. Then social and your running mal. Malevan, social and same Kiwa and Guru.
So the purpose of regret is, of course, not to leave the mind in an unhappy place. We all want to be happiness. But regret, nevertheless, is required. So, for example, let's say one went to a nightclub, drank a little bit too much, and engaged in harmful behavior that one maybe otherwise wouldn't have. So then the next morning one reflects on what happened the night before, then one would generate regret naturally for, oh, I can't believe what I did, and or what I said to this person or did to that person, etc. So regret will come. And the purpose of this mind of regret is without it, then one will maybe just be thinking, oh, last night was just a fun time, and I may have done and said these things, but so what, doesn't matter. So regret is required to lead to the next mind, which is the mind of restraint, and where we think, that's not the person I want to be, that's not how I want to relate with others and to myself, and therefore I'm going to change my behavior. So regret is required to move to the mind of restraint. And because without that mind of regret, then one keeps making the same mistakes again. And so here, when one has generated regret and then restraint, how this leads to happy minds and happy results is that if one engages in negative deeds, this accumulates negative karma and will later ripen in suffering. Moreover, our relationships with others, those especially those that we perform these negative deeds towards, maybe the way we speak or the way we act, then this impacts on our relationships with them. And this brings us down. This causes problems in our lives. So by generating regret, generating restraint, then our behavior changes. And from our change in our behavior, there's an impact on the relationships we have with others. And then we experience less problems and difficulties in this life, as well as creating the causes for further happiness in future lives.
Okay.
So if I understand correctly, so from regret comes the restraint and the promise not to do this again, and then there's an acceptance of what has been done in the past, but one is committing to walk on the path of virtue, so to speak, going forward. They're separate, like one from the other to the other. Yeah, okay. Denen esapo hakona. Denen ato kyope kietane. Denen ato domsem kiegeres. And denen ato mama denen de rimpa dampo rimpa nipa denen rimpa rimpa sumpa karede. Mama dikwa de ato kane kelen zegere di yine kelen mare yine di dolar vardi dizong yedi cetabi yine dizong yine yankya çekimi gewe lamki kangla çokiyen tanta ne gewe lamki kangla çokiyen
dirwa
yes so yes, it's a sequence regret, then the mind of restraint is I won't do it again, and then one doesn't dwell and beat oneself up over the past, but one then commits to this is the way that I'm going to go now.
Mil pombo rosine pombo chike pe mil dukcha chana cha dukcha chana jin
To take an illustration, let's say one either is a boss or a person of influence, or has a boss or person of influence over one that just complains and criticizes day after day after day, one that's never satisfied, never pleased. So all they're doing is saying, this is wrong, that is wrong, you're not good enough, you haven't done enough, etc. So we maybe know these kinds of people. Then such a person, realizing that what they're doing is just creating, their mind is staying unhappy, they're only creating problems for others, and people don't want to be around them, don't want to work for them. And so therefore this really is a situation where no one is happy. They see the fault of what they're doing, and they generate regret, and having seen the fault, they generate regret, and they say, now I'm going to do something different. So that's the second and the third. And now they've got regret, they've made the power of restraint, I'm going to do something different, not like that anymore. And then they start to do something different. So that would be perhaps they praise others when praise is due, encourage others, thank others, help others, etc. And in this way, the people they have influence over, or those that work for them, want to help them, want to be there, be with them, want to contribute. And this way, everyone becomes happier and positive and more motivated. So this would be a practical way that one could see it playing out. And thank you very much.
Yeah. Lord.